sugi here is a little teeny tiny bit involved, so just pay attention. It's not complicated, but a little bit. It says, Tani, Rav Oshia, or Rav Yoshia is probably the correct yirsa. But he taught Kamei de Rava. He said this in front of Rava. It says, the pasuk says in Shema, Uchsav Tam, which means annual write them, but he darshans it to mean Hakol b'chsav, like he darshans it Uchsav, like your writing should be Tama, should be like a complete writing. That's the drash, as Rashi explains. Hakol b'chsav, everything should be written when you write down these things. This is a reference to, of course, talking about writing your and writing your mezuzahs. Afilu tzavaos, meaning even the psukim that say, and write these things in your tefillin and your mezuzahs, the instructions, so to speak, go into the actual klaf of the tefillin or the mezuzah. There's a famous story, I think it's even true, about a guy at Aish who, Baal Tshuva, bought his father a mezuzah, like a very expensive mezuzah, as a gift. And the father got the mezuzah and he opened it up and he saw the cloth inside and he took it and he crumpled it up and put it in the rubbish bin, the garbage. So the kid said, what in the world did you just do? You know, that cost me $50, whatever. He says, I know what it is, it's mezuzah, I don't need the instructions. The drasha here is, you gotta have the instructions inside the mezuzah. Not just this, the cloth, but also the instructions to write them down. The words that say write it down, you have to include those too. So that's the thesis that Rav Yoshia put before Rava. So now, Rava is going to ask him a question. It's like a long compound question. It goes on for a few lines. Amar Leh. So Rava says, oh yeah? The Amar Lach Mani. Where'd you get that idea from? Where'd you get this idea that you have to write the instructions to write them down, to write the mezuzah in the mezuzah itself? Rav Yehuda Hi. That came from Rav Yehuda. The Amar Gabi Sota. And he's the guy who said, when it comes to Sota, remember in Sota is also you write down the little parchment that has some psukim on it and the curse, and you put them in the water and dissolve it, right? So that parsha has both the actual curse as well as the instructions to write down the curse, put it in the water. So Rabbi Yehuda had said, when it comes to the sota, that alos kosev, you write down the actual curse, but the tzavaos, the instructions, the psukim, the part of the psukim that referred to writing it down, eno kosev, that doesn't go in the parchment that goes in the water. Okay, so you see, so we're contrasting what goes into mezuzah or tefillin with what goes into the sota water. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says you exclude the instructions when it comes to sota water. But we're now saying it seems you should be including it when it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs. Now, the hasam, the reason why when it comes to sota, that you don't include the instructions is hu dechsiv, because it says explicitly v'kasev esa alosa ela, write down these curses. So it says write down the curses. So aval, meaning the curse, yes, but not the other stuff, not the instructions, explicitly the curses. So that would suggest that it's unique over there when it comes to the sota water. That's the sota instruction that you exclude in the psukim referring to running it down. Aval hacha, when it comes to kriyashma, Dechsiv uchsav tam, where it said write them down, that would seem to imply afilu nami. Afilu tzavals nami, excuse me. That would imply that you should write down even the instructions also. Now, that's, you know, it's, up to now, Rav has spoken out supposedly what was going on in the mind of Rav Oshia. So he says, wait a second. Atu tam derbi Yehuda mishum dechsiv v'chasav. It is the reason why is the reason behind Rav Yehuda's understanding of the sota that you write down just the curses because of the word ksav? No, not at all. Tam mei de Rav Yehuda mishum dechsiv alos. The point is, it said write down the curses. So the fact that the curses is the operative word tell you just the curses. Alos in and tzavos lo. Which means what? That you, when it comes to the sota, since it said just the curses, it says uvachasav ha'alos, that means just the curses because it specified the curses. But when it comes to, in the Kriya Shema, when it talks about your mezuzah and your tefillin, it didn't say anything about explicitly what you should only write down. And therefore, the chasav alone should have told you enough to tell you to write down even the instructions. Is that clear? In other words, there's a miut in the pasuk when it comes to stota saying, what do you write down? Just the curses. But without the word alos, the chasav, just write them down, would have been enough to tell you to write down the instructions also, the tzavos. So why do you need a drasha when it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs? Uchasav tam, write them down completely, meaning including the instructions, even without the tam part, just the chasav, you would assume, you see from Sota, it's reasonable to assume to include the instructions also, unless you have a miyat saying just something else, you know, just the curses. The Gemara answers, like it's really Rav Yosha's responding back to Rav's long question, no, it's drich. No, the Torah needed to do the ich uchasav tam, and yet the drush from the tam. Salkadai tachamina, what you might have thought is, nelef ksiva ksiva. You would learn what's called a gzera shava, right? From the word ksav and the word ksav. If it would have said ksav by tefillin and mezuzahs, since it all says the same word ksav over by sota, you'd think, oh, they're connected this by gzera shava. I'll go back and visit gzera shava in a minute. Let me just do the piece. So you connect them and you'd say just the same, mahasam, just like over there when it comes to the sota, alos in tava'os lo, when it says write it down, it means write down the actual operative critical part, the curses, but not the instructions. Afhacha, I think so too, when it said write it down, talking about mezuzah and tefillin, nami tava'os lo, I think it means also write down the actual tachlis, the message, you know, Hashem Echad, and leave out the actual instructions, write it down. Right? And therefore, kasev rachmana uchasav tam, to tell you, write them down, tam, that's the drasha, afil tzavos, to include even the tzavos. Okay, that's the piece. Is everything I said clear? Yeah? Okay. Now, I need to explore something with you, which is very yisodi, very important. The Gemara's premise is, I mean, the punchline is, you would have made an erroneous gezeira shava. If the Torah didn't tell you uchsav tam, you would think ksav ksav, just like the ksav by sota means without instructions. So to the ksav, when it comes to tefillin and mezuzah, is without instructions. The problem is, you probably... Sorry? That's right. The problem is, you're going to say, wait a second, when it comes to gezeira shava, you're only supposed to, you can't make them up out of the clear blue yonder. You have to have a mesorah for them. That being the case, so why could you... How could you fall into the trap of making an erroneous gezeira shava out of the clear blue sky? You have no mesorah, there's a gezeira shava to be made. That's the question. Now let me. So to explain that, I want to explain what Gezer Shava is, at least Gezer Shava 101. I'm not going to get into like the Mufna business, just how Gezer Shava works. So that'll be for Gezer Shava 102. So next semester. So it's like this. Gezer Shava means, Gezer is like to cut, and Shava equal, like an equal cutting. That's literally what it means, something like that. Maybe the closest probably translation in English might be like, so to speak, like cut from the same cloth. Gezeira shava and equal cutting. Or maybe if a more familiar type of translation might be like, you know, cookie cutter, the expression cookie cutter. The point is like, it's a cookie cutter halacha, so to speak. It's cut the same way. So however it's defined, whatever, you know, whatever parameters it has over here, will connect those parameters to over there. That's what gezeira shava is. Now, gezeira shava can come in two totally different applications. A gezeira shava can either come to define the meaning of a word. In other words, you have a word and you don't understand the, like how we learn language in general. You don't know what a word means until you see it in context. By seeing words in context, you understand the contextual implications of that word, the nuances of the word. So sometimes a gezeira shava is coming to define the word based on its usage elsewhere. And that's just like language. All languages like that, right? I mean, they spoke language long before they had a dictionary to define the words. They figured it out from context. And little children manage to learn how to speak just fine without a dictionary, right? Adarabha. It'd be very difficult to learn the language from a dictionary. You learn it from contextual use. So that's one kind of gezeira shava. Famous example, probably the most famous, I think, is right in the very beginning of Kedushin. It says, it makes a gezeira shava from the kicha. Kicha, very famous gezeira shava. It says, the pasuk says, talking about marriage, ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a wife. And they connect that to the Ste Ephron, the Ephron's field, when Ephron said to Avram, Kach mimeni, take it from me. We make a gezeira shava connecting the kach of kach mimeni to the kach of ki yikach. And we say, just the same way, the word ki yikach ish, when a man takes a woman, just the same way by a field, you can make that acquisition with money, with kesef. So too, a woman can be acquired, not just kesef, but with money. So, I'm just being simple. You can also learn that when you acquire a woman, or whatever the schuyas you acquire in a woman when you make kedushin, that can be affected with money also. That's his first kind. In other words, we're just saying, it's a ki yikach ish. Now, what does ki yikach mean? Doesn't when you there's obviously more to engagement than like physically putting in your pocket. So we need to understand what the word ki yikach means. So we say, oh, you see, kach means in a different context when it comes to fields. You acquire fields just like when you own a field, you don't put the field in your pocket. Rather, you acquire it, let's say, with money. So too, kesef is effective in a way of acquiring a woman. So there's no great chadush in there. We're just simply defining a word, ki yikach and ki yikach. Yeah? That is a halachically acceptable. That's an implication of the word, and that's what the Gezer Shav is coming to tell you.
The Gezer Shav.
Well, I don't want to get into. Yes, I don't. It's a definition in as much as a halachic definition. In other words, It's a din. It's literally a din, but it's telling you how the word can be used contextually to imply that the kicha is done through kesef. So it's not, right, it's not a dictionary definition, but it's telling you that the kach is a term of art in the Torah, and it refers to acquisition, and the same way acquisition of this type can be affected the field, so it can be affected with the woman in the same mode. So we're learning a new din, but it's not something out of clear blue sky, where he's just telling you how the word kach can be used, Now there's another kind of gzera shava, which is the kind where you basically have, you know, two unrelated things, but since you have a gzera shava, you're going to connect dinim from over there to dinim over here. Like, for example, it says when it talks about the Korban Pesach, it talks about the toshav and the sachir. I don't know, the resident and the hired worker. And it also talks about a toshav and the sachir in the halachas of truma. So they say, oh, the gzera shava of those two words tells you the same way when it comes to Korban Pesach, you can't participate if you're an arul, if you haven't had a bris milah. So too, when it comes to truma, you're not allowed to eat truma if you're not mahul, if you haven't been circumcised. So like, that's clear. That's just like you're basically just cookie cuttering the halachas across. Like they have no, you're not defining anything. You're simply saying there's some sort of the transitive rule of dinim that apply in one area to different dinim in a different area, and we're just borrowing the halachas of Korban Pesach to the halachas of truma, which otherwise would have no logical connection except this exegetical linguistic connection of the gzera shava of toshav and sachir and toshav and sachir. It's the latter, this latter usage of gzera shava, of innovating a new din out of clear blue sky, that cannot be done without a mesorah. But the former, to just understand the implications of words that the Torah uses in its terms of art, that is a direct interpretation that doesn't require a mesorah. Doesn't require a mesorah. Because it's not making something up out of nowhere. It's saying you see out of context what it means. So that's what's going on over here. We're saying the word ksav, write it down. So just the same way we were talking about earlier on in the previous sugya, how we're saying, not a great example, and I was saying the Torah is defining to you what articulation is, and I was defining the machlokas over what's the Torah's definition of articulation, right? Even though it didn't, right? So here the Torah is giving you we might have incorrectly defined the Torah. When it says, Torah says, uchasav, write it down, you write down something, the Torah says to write it down, so you'd see, oh, that means write it down with the instructions to write it down. That's a reasonable implication, because that's how the word ksav is used over here, so the word ksav would be used over there the same way. So therefore, there's a reasonable connection to be made, and therefore, you would make the gezer shava if you didn't have a drush, so you don't make the gezer shava. You could make the gezer shava. Is that clear? I think it's very important. Because this comes up, this kasha of, wait a second, you can't make up gezer shava, this comes up lots and lots of times throughout Shas. And that's a teretz. The teretz is that the kind of gezer shava that you can't make up is where you're innovating new dinim across the board. When you're defining a term of art and saying how a word should apply, that you could learn contextually from a different place in a gezer shava and to define that very word. Okay? Just put a very different way. I'm not restating everything again. When it comes to gezer shava of this type, we're saying ksav, ksav, and we're defining what ksav means. As opposed to toshav and sachir, toshav and sachir, we're telling you, oh, and therefore there's a separate din altogether about circumcised people. You understand? We're not defining toshav and sachir anyway. We're transporting dinim across. As opposed to here, we're saying what ksav means or what kach means. Okay, fine. So that's the teretz. Very important yisod. Okay, fine.